this morning's message coming from the 16th chapter of Ezekiel, the 9th verse. And it reads as such, "Then washed I thee with water. Yes, I thoroughly washed away thine blood from thee, and I anointed thee with oil." He goes on to say what all else he did to these people of his. But as we see, there would have to be another washing that occurred. This washing was a continual washing, in that we look and see what transpired during after this washing that occurred, that he did. And we have to understand baptism as being a one-time act of God. I told you the other day. But once someone does something, there is verbs and things in the Hebrew and the Greek that's continuous verbs, and it means a continuous action. And we all sin, and we continue to sin, and we continue to learn the sins that we're doing. So when I make a statement to say we all continue to sin, hopefully we're not continuing in the same sins, though. When I say continue to sin, that we start to learn all the things that are sin, in which the Apostle Paul, the reason he said he was the chiefest of sinners, he can see his life as a sinner, and that God was taking him through a process. The reason, that's why he says he hadn't achieved yet, but he strived for the high calling that's in Christ Jesus. He wasn't continually committing the same old sins over and over, because God has power for us to overcome. That's who he says that we'll receive the crown of life to those that are overcomers. Some of us aren't able to overcome, and it's because we like the old man, the old way. Those are not being washed. Those are like the five foolish virgins. These were people in the church, as the ones that are in the book of Revelations in those churches. Jesus was continually telling them he had something against them. So we're not to be surprised that there be countless numbers of people in the church that are lost, because they do not allow the blood of Jesus Christ to be effectual in their lives. They are not a part of the chosen people that were called. There will be a many a call, but only a few chosen. So just because you're in church, that doesn't mean that you have it made. Remember, he told those five foolish virgins, "I never knew you." These were espoused to the bridegroom. But what had happened, it said they didn't trim their lamps. So it was something else going on in their lives that they wasn't doing, even though both of them slumbered and slept. They wasn't arising up early and trimming or continuing in the Word of God, applying it to their lives. And that's not going to continue on for eons, as the mockers say things continue as it was from the beginning. God is not slack concerning his promises. We see where he had to continually wash these people, because they became proud and prideful. That's what he's talking about in the book of Proverbs, the 30th chapter, when he says, "There is a generation that appear in their own eyes, and yet not washed from their filthiness." Fornicators, people sitting in churches that has girlfriends and boyfriends, that are God robbers, that are backbiters. That psalm that Brother Dent read, to show you how tightly woven this is, do you have a Bible that has a superscription in there on that psalm? The superscription of that subscription under that psalm says, "David describes a citizen of Zion." This is someone that's a citizen of the kingdom of God, in other words, of Jerusalem, that great city, Jerusalem. That's called Zion. Now, this is not someone that cast out, because you remember Jesus said, the children of the kingdom shall be cast out, and publicans and harlots will go in before the religious. In other words, the Pharisees, those that were in the church that thought they had achieved. Listen at David as how he described a citizen of Zion. This is a blood-bought person. This is a person whose sins have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. See, because it took blood to reconcile us back to God. That's what we're washed in. So you wouldn't count it a light thing if you realize Jesus Christ's blood was shed to cleanse you from the sin that you're in. That's how you washed. That's how you cleansed from your sin, is by a man dying. And stop thinking of it as God. Think of it as a man dying. That's why he came as a man and died as a man. It wasn't deicide, it was a man that died. It was Jesus that died, the Son that was given. Think of the debt that you owe that man. That his blood was shed for you, and you counting it a light thing to go on and continue to do the things that you do in the way you do. Lord, who shall abide in that tabernacle? Who will dwell in the house of God? Who's going to be in the kingdom of God? Because that's why God begins judgment at the church. Judgment begins at the house of God. Because if some in the church won't dwell there, they won't be there. They may be there now, but they'll be cast out of the kingdom. It's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. They won't get back in. He says, who shall dwell in thine holy hill? He that walketh upright. God had made man upright. He didn't make man a gossip. He didn't make man one that shy from the responsibility of being a man. Adam was made upright, but Adam started to be made crooked because he started listening at his wife. He started to disobey God, those that are in authority over him. And who could make that which is crooked and straight? Only God. See, so Adam lost out. Don't follow that type, man. He won't dwell there. God had to buy man back because Adam sold man out, and is man selling man out today. And one that's walking uprightly, who worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in the heart. So this is a man with a changed heart. It's not the same man. Not the man with the old heart. He has a circumcised heart, because we see it says, work it righteousness. And when he says work it righteousness, no goodness is in man. So we know he's not working his own righteousness by his own deeds. He has to be working the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He has to be made in Christ's image and likeness. That's God's original plan, and that's how it's going to be made. In the image and likeness of God. Not in an irresponsible... You know, one thing that any man that God despises is a man that's not upright. You can take that in a woman, but not in a man. A man has to be different. That's why I said it takes real men to follow Jesus. Do you know that's why in a lot of places or whatever you see women in charge and authority? Because it's a lot that God take off women that he wouldn't take off of a man, because man is made in God's image. And when a man seek to do those things, it's a whole different thing. It says, he that backbiteth not with his tongue. And you have so many mealy-mouthed backbiting men today. They won't be in the kingdom because they cause dissent. They sow discord among brethren. They go back with other men telling this and telling that and everything. Those kind of men won't be in the kingdom. That's why Proverbs say, that's an abomination before God, he that soweth discord among brethren. That's how not how man is made. You need to be washed from those things. You need to be washed from the sins of your father Adam. He says, nor do it evil to his neighbor, nor take it up a reproach against his neighbor. In whose eyes a vile person is contempt. Now, the one thing I look at sometimes when I'm watching television with my wife or whatever, that's of many contemptible people you see on television, in sports, and in life, and you should hate that. You should hate the works of these contemptible, evil, vile men. That's what God said. And he's angry with the wicked every day. That kind of person only serves to receive the judgment of God, because he had made a way for them not to be that way. And that way is the blood of his son, to be washed from that filth. There's a generation, I was telling, me and Sister Harris was talking the other day, and she said that one time my daughter was saying, do things that are not offensive in certain ways. But the gospel is very offensive at times. And, you know, my daughter and them say in the church, they say, assume your praise positions. See, that's giving lead way for man to bend God. That's giving way for man to bend God, to do things, because your praise position ought to be anything. God understands if you can't do what the pastor's asking you to do. If I said stand and let's read this verse, we're expecting everybody to stand who can stand. Am I right? She shouldn't be offended. Hopefully she's not offended, because she's been grown to know that in her heart she's standing. See, because what happens is, it's just like the girl that was raised to be a queen, raising to be a queen, or your child that wants to do something, you tell him to do something. That child, I forgot how he told this story, but he had told her to sit down and shut up and not do anything. And that child said, you know, she doing, because she knew she was going to receive punishment, she says, but in my mind and heart, I'm standing up, though. See, because she was just that against that. See, it's a lot of people hide this in their heart. They hadn't been humble and they're not washed. They're showing a false piety. How many people come in the church and say they're loving, but they're not loving? They're hating in their heart and they're despising people in their heart. They come in the church with hatred, vileness in their heart, just having done sin the very next day, and they think that they can hide that from God. That's why he said, he look at and judge at the intent of the heart. God knows whether you want to humble yourself before him, or do he have to humble you before him? See? I see humility in you. I see a lot of times in desperation, you want to fulfill God's way. And that's how, when the word starts to convict somebody, but you also tell people that's feeding you a line and trying to get you to think that they're more than they are just full of a lot of stuff. It's a lot of people talk to me and tell me things. I was coming to see Brother Dent the other day, and his neighbor was sitting outside drinking or whatever, and he started to talk or whatever. I started shutting him down in every area and every way to go, because I seen we would have a vain conversation. All of his attempts at what he was doing was by rote. In other words, what's expected of Christians or different people to say. His first contradiction was about the weather, and I had to shut him down on that. See, because sometimes you don't want people to be saying things to you just to make you feel good or just to be saying things. And that's what God tells us in our life. He says, we have to repent, a turn, and be really washed. You're not going to deceive God. There's no sin going to enter into heaven. That's not. He's going to have to wash you into his blood. So, listen at this. What requires is repentance first. First, you have to turn from your sin. Don't go acting like you're holy or trying to be holy, and you're not holy. You do like the publican says, Lord, be merciful unto me, a sinner. In the book of Acts, repentance is my first point. In the book of Acts, Peter was preaching. And it says, therefore, let the whole house of Israel recognize beyond all doubt and acknowledge assuredly that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now, when they heard this, they were stunned, cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? And Peter answered them, repent. In other words, change your views and purpose to accept the will of God in your inner selves instead of rejecting it. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of and release from your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, this was a promise from God, because these people actually wanted to know what to do to receive pardon from God. This guy, this is the same guy, someone had told me that he wanted to go to a small church. He had opportunities to meet a small church. But then he said he don't want a little small church. He want a lot of church. A church right across the street got a lot of people in it. But he chose to sit there with a beer can in his hand early in the morning and then would tell me about the Lord, that whether some didn't wake up or whatever. If you realize that the Lord had given you each day and each day is beautiful, why sit there and be contrary to God? So it's better that we not talk God. If you would talk God and still be irreverent and think that you're serving that God and still walking the way you want to walk. Isn't that true? If you would name the name of Christ, it says, depart from your iniquity. He's got two different neighbors there. So let's try to have to visit Brother Dennis as less as possible. See, because sometimes it's some that say they ain't involved in church, but everything religious you say, it's people that want to trip you up in it. And it's those kind you also have to be careful of. So Jesus was always at fight with who? The scribes and the Pharisees. Because they were unforgiving. There's the Christians or those that say they're Christians that are unforgiving. But then there are those in the world that are not saying that they're Christian and believe in God, or that they follow God, but they're unforgiving also. So, what is the title of our lesson? As thou forgive others, as you forgive others. So, you have to keep yourself in a position where you can be forgiving of those around you and not hold this against them. That's what Jesus says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. So I forgive each one of these two men, and I have nothing against them. But I tread lightly around them. I be careful what I say. Now, they don't know this. They shouldn't be able to know, because I hadn't told them these things. So if they wind up coming closer to God, it's because God draws them close. And the book of Mark, the first chapter and the fourth verse, you had a lot of people that coming out to John's baptism. Some of them just wanted fire insurance. In other words, they felt that this was wrong, right? They wanted to be baptized. And John called them a generation of vipers, and who had warned them to flee. So some of them wanted to be baptized and recognized with the name of Christ. But they didn't realize what they were getting themselves into. John said, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness preaching a baptism of repentance. In other words, obligating people to a change of one's mind for the better, heartily amending one's ways. In other words, change the way you're living. With abhorrence of sin, in other words, the way you was one time before, that you would run and gossip with everybody. That you would run back and tell, oh man, this guy said this about you. This person said this and that person said that. So a lot of people go back and tell what happened in the church. They go back and tell what happened in their own home around their own family. They're what they call talebearers. That's all they do. But David said those kind of people won't be in the kingdom, because what they're doing causes discord. So they have to be washed from those ways. That's the old order of all ways of life. It says the prudent in some time would keep quiet. It's better sometime not to say anything than to say something that would cause a division. Well, I'm just speaking the truth. But it says speak the truth in love. And love is not creating a division. Love doesn't create division. He says, in order to obtain forgiveness and release from sins. So John was preaching a baptism of repentance. And if we hadn't learned what repentance is, it means turn about, go the opposite way, stop doing what you're doing. That's why I say what's wrong with these churches, a lot of them. And sometimes I'll be thinking, my daughter will be talking or whatever, because she goes to this other church or whatever. And my wife be saying, you know, we're thinking, well, you know, the majority of the churches these days don't preach repentance. They preach Jesus. But if you catch their deacons, their preachers, their deaconess, the choir members and the church members, they're not living any differently than any differently than the world does. They live just like the world. They dress like the world. They talk like the world. There's no repentance. So this is the generation, he says, that hadn't been washed away their filthiness. He says there's a generation, a class of people, in the Amplified it reads this way. There's a class of people who curse their fathers and do not bless their mothers. There's a class of people who are pure in their own eyes. In other words, they're church going and they're folks that they say love the Lord and yet are not washed from their own sins because they hadn't received a washing in the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the whole counsel of God being preached because their preachers are not preaching the whole word of God. That's why Paul says he hadn't failed to declare the whole counsel of God. We can't get into heaven living the way we're living. We have to have a changed way of life. And we're not forgiving. A lot of us not forgive. We have to learn to forgive. Just like God freely forgave us, we have to freely forgive others. We have to be able to freely forgive others. In other words, that's remitting. In other words, changing or turning back. I told y'all I was going to tell you about the word remit this morning, a little bit more about the word remit. And when you get a bill or something, a lot of times on that bill, what did that bill say? It says remit this amount back to them, right? In other words, send back or send it back to them. It means a pardon or release. The Romans used that in the divorce court or whatever when someone wants to divorce someone. But it's a dismissal or a release. It's a pardon from something to send back. And also in the book of Romans, the 3rd chapter and the 21st verse, it's a passing by of debt of sin, a passing over. And I'll get to that one shortly. But first of all, this one about a pardon and release or remission. The other day I was trying to get into this study at Pennington or whatever, and the young lady called me and said, well, you can't get into the study because you're not pre-diabetic. You know, I thought at one time I was pre-diabetic, but my doctor had told me if I started eating certain things, that since I didn't like sticking myself and didn't like the stuff fooling with insulin and everything, if I maintain a proper diet, that I could not be diabetic. And so as I started eating and not eating certain foods, I found out, yes, you said, well, the good news is you're not pre-diabetic. The bad news is you can't participate in the study because you're not pre-diabetic. In other words, what I once was close to is starting to go back or reverse itself. It's being sent away. It's in remission. If you go to the doctor and you had cancer or something, they say, well, look, with the treatment and the radiation and all the treatment we're giving you or whatever, your cancer's in remission. That's good news because that means what? It's started going in recession. It's going back or getting smaller. If it's in remission, if you have a disease or cancerous growth or something, they say it's in remission. It's started to get smaller. So when Peter says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, in other words, for the removal, for the washing away of those sins. Baptism there is symbolized by water, blood. See, because you're baptized in the water as an outward symbol of being buried with Jesus Christ. But that burial also is symbolic of the burial of the old man. But we also have to see there is a resurrection of a new man to walk in the newness of life. What you used to do, you don't do any longer. You stop doing those things. You're not on the phone gossiping about people and tail-barring and saying one thing to another. That you've changed your life. You didn't bury the old man. That's how to identify. Now you walk up and walk as Christ walked. You're able to walk as Jesus Christ walked. So, in the book of John, the 20th chapter, the 20th verse, first verse, he says, "Then said John," we're talking about remission and remitting here. That's the second point. This is what John's saying in that book about what Jesus said. He said, "Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained." In other words, whoever sins that you sent away, that you do not keep, that you forgive, that you allow a pass over or pass by, they're gone. There's no more remembrance there. But if you hold that, what are you doing? You carry that sin around with you. You carry that unforgiveness around with you. That's what causes a lot of sickness and disease or whatever, is that you carrying around ill feelings of what somebody did to you years ago. Or what's been happened to you in the past, you still holding that. That's what causes cancer. That's what causes sickness, depression, all kinds of anxiety or whatever, because this is suppression of guilt or holding someone else's guilt. And by him breathing on them, that means when you receive the Spirit of the Holy Ghost, God gives you the ability to be like him, to forgive sins, to be like Christ, and says, "Father, forgive them, they know not what they're doing." When this guy said this to me the other day, I can talk to him about anything now. I can talk to him or whatever, but I have to watch how I talk to him, because I know what's in him and where he needs to be led. So that's in the past what was said, but there's, when people say forgiving you, you're not able to forget now. Unless you have something wrong with your mind and things. It's a lot of forget things, you know. I'm suffering from a little forgetfulness of things. But seldom do you forget. It's just that you don't hold them against them. You no longer hold that against them. But if you go around forgetting what people then did to you, you're going to have a problem somewhere. You're destined to repeat that somewhere else. He who is aware of history is destined to repeat that same history. That's why I say I deal with these different people different ways, because I've incurred problems with them once before. I know how to treat them a little bit differently this time, so that I know what's in this person. And so I'm going to handle them this way to try to bring them this way. But then if they resist that, I keep on trying. See, the remission of the washing is over a period of time. But forgiveness is immediate. I immediately forgave him. I could immediately forgive people. And I do that immediately forgive. But you have to build up on that. That's why in Ezekiel, when Christ says about he that turneth from his righteous ways, then all the evil that he's done will come back to him. It's not that when God forgives you and he says your sin is from the east, from the west, he's forgiven. Well, God is not a forgetting God. He doesn't forget things. It's just that he don't hold that against you. A lot of people hold things against people. You don't hold that or apply that against people, but you release them from that particular transgression against you. So, the other one of forgiveness I told you was a tolerance or forbearance. And we do this with our children sometimes, and like I was saying, with other people and other things. A tolerance or forbearance of sin. That's what the way Christ did that with us.
But watch the devil. He'll get in the midst of that. And that's where I'm proud of my daughter at a lot of times, that she sees these things. She has learned this through her church, you think. So that's why I say you don't throw away the church and go condemn churches or other people or whatever. It's in all areas that it has strong people in churches, but they need to be washed from their sins. Not saying that they're evil, because we need to be washed from our sin. You understand what I'm saying? So you don't condemn the whole thing and throw it out. Romans 3:25 says, whom God put forward before the eyes of all as a mercy seat and a propitiation by his blood, the cleansing and life-giving sacrifice of atonement and reconciliation to be received through faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he passed over and ignored former sins without punishment. In other words, this person might have said something to offend me, but I still could talk and help this person and love this person, love him with all my heart, and try to make things better. Because in their ignorance, he wasn't even aware of what. This guy wasn't aware of the offense that he was offending against me and against God at that time. I'm not holding that against him. See him tomorrow or whatever. I talk to him or whatever, as this never occurred. You understand that? That's a pardon and release from sin. But see, a lot of times if you get there and somebody go back and tell him, he said this about you, or somebody said this about you, that's going to fester in that guy's mind, and it's going to throw up a wall between y'all. Now that he knows this, he's not in the spirit like you. He's not going to love his enemy. He's going to hate you as an enemy. That's why he says talebearers and gossipers are backbiting, won't be in the kingdom, because you caused this division. You caused this. If you don't allow things to progress, these people would have reconciled themselves to one another. If this husband and wife that's fighting and going on, if the mother-in-law or the outside person would have stayed out of it, they might have reconciled themselves to one another. But you didn't went and told somebody else about your wife or your husband. You done went and told some in-laws or somebody else, they got in it, put their 2 cents in it, and say what they heard them saying, what all they did here, and I see them do this and see them do that. Now it's irreconcilable, they're divorcing and everything, because you the transgressor there. They could have forgiven one another. There's a lot of husband and wife, there's a lot of friends get back together if you just stay out of it. You understanding what I'm saying? We have to be washed from those ways. We're transgressors in those ways. That's where the church are transgressing, is because of meddling, thinking that God had put them there in something to be mend fences, and they don't know how to mend fences. They're causing the problems. Grace and forgiveness came through Jesus Christ. The book of Matthew 26, chapter 28, verse says, this is my blood of the new covenant, which ratifies the agreement, being poured out for many for the forgiveness, in other words, the remission of sins, for the removal of sin. So if you're in the blood of Christ, if you're being washed by the blood of Christ, you'll realize the only way you can do that is to respond to people biblically. The only way you can respond biblically is that you be baptized in the Holy Spirit, that you've been received the Holy Ghost, that you're being led by the Spirit of God, and that you're saying this being led by Scripture, that the Scripture leads you in this direction. And this is not you replying, I'm just that way. That you have to kill. That's where the struggle comes in. That old nature is still there. That would come out, and that you want to do, you might not do. You have to overcome. You have to mortify the deeds of the body, that mortify the flesh, so sin wouldn't reign in you to where you could control that tongue and you don't so say everything that's on your mind, everything that you want to say, everything that you hear somebody say. That little tongue will start a whole forest fire. You have to have the spirit to be able to control your tongue. because his blood was shed for that very purpose, to cleanse you from them unrighteous acts. These people had grew up proud, prideful, irresponsible. You start taking responsibility and say, I was wrong. I didn't do this. I didn't do what I was supposed to do. I'm in the wrong, and help me to be right. And start walking uprightly. God made man upright in the manner we forgive. Not, I know y'all pray the Our Father prayer, but you pray it too fast sometimes. You pray it without thinking sometimes. The name of this sermon, As Thou Forgive Others. That little two-letter word, as, A-S, is in that prayer. As Thou Forgive Others. That word means just the same as. Just the same. In other words, the way in which you forgive others, that's the way God's going to forgive you. Do you forgive others stingily, begrudgingly? Listen at this. When you're praying the book of Matthew, the 6th chapter, the 12th through the 15th verse, and forgive us our debts as we also forgive those our debtors. Listen to what you're saying now. In other words, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven, left or remitted and let go of the debts and have forgiven resentment against those that had trespassed against us. You're asking God to do something for you freely that you won't freely do for somebody else. He gonna crawl before I forgive him for that. He gonna come back and say this or do this before I forgive him. It'll be a cold day before I forgive him. I did say he'll have to do this. He'll have to show me this and that. That. Understand what you're saying. Father, forgive us our debts as the same way that we forgive others, you forgive us that way. So the way you make people gravel, the way you do other people, it's the same way God's going to do you. It's a law of sowing and reaping. As we forgive others. The same way, if you're holding a grudge against me that's 10 years old, you didn't forget what it's about. Well, God may hold one against you because that's the same way you're doing. You're not in his image. You're not in his likeness because he freely forgives. As is in there now. Are you doing it this way as God does it? Are you doing it the way you do it? Every time, but you remember the time you did this, and every time that they do it something, you bring it back up. You remember when you did me this? You remember when this happened? You remember? That's the same way God will forgive you. Every time you do something, see, you want that guilt removed. How do you remove your guilt? See, the blood of Jesus Christ should be able to wash that guilt away. If you didn't repent it and to turn from yourself, he'll help you crucify that old man. But you have to be aware that he is there. You have to humble yourself and take something off people. You have to make these sacrifices. You have to give up this pride. You have to give up what someone's done to you. Because that's what God requires of you, to be like him, to be forgiving. It says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory. You stop right there, right? That's the end of the prayer. Look at the next verse. See, a lot of people don't read John 3:16, and they read 3:16, but they don't keep reading. You didn't pray to pray and say amen. You agree with that. Amen is all. Is meaning that you agree with what thus was said, what you had just prayed to God. But God adds something to that. Let's read the next verse. So you stop there with your prayer. For if you forgive people their trespasses, their reckless and willful sins, leaving them and letting them go and giving up resentment, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. If you do these things, if you remit it back to them, if you forgive what they've done to you, that's why when he was on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them what they've done. They don't know what they're doing. Do you do it that way? He says, if you forgive people their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. Now here's the 14th verse. Come on, keep reading with me. I don't want to stop here. Because it says, but if you do not forgive others their trespasses.
Huh?
Let it sink in. If you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will the Father forgive you your trespasses. See, that's what you're refusing to be washed. But in your mind, you don't want to forgive them. I forgive you. You know, that's sometimes you should make your children apologize to someone or somebody make you apologize. Well, I don't want you to apologize because somebody came back and told you I was mad at you or this and that happened. Your own conscience need to convict you. This need to come from your heart. You need to see that you hurt somebody. You need to see what your actions are. Don't you just apologizing because somebody went back and gossiped to you and told you I was mad at you. When Peter says to Jesus, he said, Master, do you know they was offended at you for saying that? Did Jesus say, oh, let me go back and apologize because they mad at you? Did he say, if you think that offended them, wait till they see the Son of Man ascend back to where he was. It's going to get even worse. It's going to get even worse for the sinner. That's why they don't preach these things. It's going to get worse for you. He says, now if you don't forgive them, God won't forgive you. God's grace is children of forgiving heart. Some people are not able to forgive. See? And that's a sign that they have been called but not chosen. It's a lot of hateful people in the church. It's a lot of bitter people in the church. Envious, murderers, contemptuous, and such. Paul said such were some of you. But it, has you been washed? When he said you've been washed, he wasn't talking to them all because some of them still harbored ill will. Matthew 18:35 says, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you. If ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. You know, sometimes you hold your brothers and your family to closer standards than you hold other people. Other people can do all kinds of things to you. You take that off of them. But let your family do it. Let your brother or somebody do it. You're always on the case. You're always on the case. You would rather please friends and other people than those close to you. See, you are man pleaser. You don't have a forgiving heart. Forgiving heart would show no partiality. That's why it says, if Jesus tells us to love our enemies, that means just because some of you hate somebody, don't say different than that about them. You don't get along with somebody. You're waiting for somebody to bring you some juicy gossip on that person so you could pile on and say, I knew they were going to find them out and this and that about them. But if that was your brother or something, when they come to you about that, you would explain to them or try to defend them on that. Or you were showing what God's point of view is on that. What do God think about that? Well, I think they're both in sin. They're both transgressing what God's word says. That's why they're having problems, because none of them in God's word. Therefore, I say unto you, Mark 11:24-30. Remember, this is about remittance now. In other words, how do you remove sin? By being God-like, being washed in the blood. That you in Jesus Christ, in the righteousness of Christ. You have to be upright in heart to dwell in the kingdom. The kingdom of God is amongst us. It's right in our heart. Mark 11:24 says, therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. And when you stand praying, did I say something wrong there? See, because a lot of people say, oh, some people kneel down and pray. Some people lay down and pray or whatever. They used to assume the posture of prayer by standing and praying. That's, you've seen people in Muslims in different places standing and praying to God. That's why they use the terminology here, when you stand praying. You could sit down and pray. This just was a posture they see. Right now, most people kneel and pray. My mother used to lay in the bed and pray because she couldn't kneel it hurts me. You see me a lot of times putting things under my knees to pray because I've had knee replacements and things going on with my weight thing. It hurts to get on my knees. A lot of times I come up in the pulpit and I lay down up there and pray. It's a many a day. When I come to work here most of the time, I lay down up there in the pulpit to pray to God. A many a time I stand around there and pray to God. Sometimes I just sit in the car and pray as I'm driving. That's why Paul says, cease not to pray to God. I sit and pray a good bit. That's no. Say, oh no, you're not in the, you got to bend your knees this way and do this and that there because you're getting the correct prayer posture. What? So he says, forgive if you ought have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive you of your trespasses. Don't come in here this morning praying, and you still have problems out there. Get those problems first right, and then come to the altar. Come before God and pray then. And when he say altar, that he doesn't mean a place of this thing. Anyway, you can enter into your prayer closet. You can pray right where you are. You wherever you are, those who worship God worship Him in spirit and truth. Wherever that occurs, that you can pray right there, Father, forgive me, I've sinned. The publican was kneeling and wouldn't even raise up his head and say, be merciful to me, a sinner. The sign is being humble in a posture of humility to God. In other words, the fetal position. In other words, you're not brazen and standing before God. You're asking a merciful God as you humble yourself. The outward sign is an inward sign of the way the heart is. In other words, I'm kneeling and praying before you, God, that you would do this for me. But don't be like the man that the king forgave so much debt that he couldn't repay that debt. But then he went outside and met someone that owed him just a meager amount. And he tried to choke it out of this man. You pay me that which you owe me. What you mean? He said, I forgive you all that debt. But now you didn't choke this man and put him in the prison and say to sell his family thing to give you back $5 and you owe me millions of dollars? God has forgiven us so much. God's has forgiven us so much. But you holding things against people, your brothers, your sisters, your parents, your friends, your neighbors, your co-workers, your employers, your employees. Why are you doing these things? The blood of Jesus Christ, he came and shed that blood for the remission. In other words, to removal of those sins, to dwell in the most for us, to dwell in the Most High. The book of Hebrews says, he, under the law, almost everything is purified by the means of blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no release from sin and its guilt, nor the remission of the due and merited punishment for sin. So sin is against God. Only God can pardon and release you from sin. If you sin against a teacher at a school, that teacher can forgive you, but only the party that's in charge of carrying out punishment can do the forgiveness. So the teacher might forgive you, but the school can expel you from that school, even though that teacher forgave you. I can forgive you. See, a lot of times the reason we don't forgive people is we think that they didn't got off with something. But God says, vengeance is mine, I'll repay. So the sin wasn't against you, the sin was against God. It's up to God to forgive their sin. You just was a vehicle showing how that they should be. So you have to do what God told you to do is forgive. Love your enemy. Let God seek vengeance. Vengeance is mine, he said, I'll repay. I'll repay everybody. Every transgression will receive its just recompense of reward. Have faith and trust in God. He shed his blood to reconcile us back unto God. the conclusion to that is, let that be the work that does that to bring us to God. That's the reason he came here, to reconcile us to God. He died to reconcile us to God. Closing in this conclusion to apply this to your life. 2 Corinthians 5th chapter 17 through the 21st verse. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, you baptize it in the body of Christ. You put on Christ. He is a new creature. All things are passed away. And behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God, who had reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. God then did what was to make atonement for your sin. He's the propitiation. He's the covering for your sin. He's then justified you. You're in the righteousness of Christ. And he had given us a ministry of reconciliation. So we should go about doing the same thing. Reconciling man to God. It was by his actions, by his life, how he did this. With the power of the Holy Ghost on our lives and the changed heart, it gives us the removal, the remission of sin. It makes sin small in our life to the point it washes away all sin. The blood of Christ washes away. Apply that blood to our lives. Walk upright as a new creature in Christ Jesus. There is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. If you truly believe that as he was whipped, as he bled, as he hung on that cross, and as the soldier pierced that spear into his chest cavity, into his side, and that blood and water spilled out on the ground, that blood was for you. That he actually, you have to have faith that he did that for you. That blood removes all guilt. That's how you get rid of the guilt. That's the only thing that can give you the guilt, that he paid for your sin. That you can stand before God and boldly before the throne of God and ask him anything in his name, in that he had prepared and made a way, that it is finished. And so all you have to do is believe and trust in him and walk in the newness of life. That way you can forgive others. That way you don't hold against others what they do to you, because what they're doing to you, they're doing it to Christ. As you not uphold your end, your bargains of what you did in life, you're not doing it under me, you're doing it under God. How you not help me, how you not do for me, you're not doing it under me. What you steal from me, what you backbite and talk about, you're not doing it under me. I've been washed in the blood. I'll tear the old man against you and still see my Savior's face. I can't do it. So I won't do it, because I'm blood-bought, washed in the blood of the Lamb. So he says, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses against him. So if we are to inherit the world and all therein, Christ has to be in us. We have to not impute. We have to ignore people, forbear people trespassing against us. That's all right, brother. I forgive you. What you said to me, I forgive you. And I come back and I want to talk to you. I'm not over here gossiping about you and telling people how bad you are, telling people what you said, because they might not see it as I saw it. And they might start hating you for that. I don't want to put a wedge between me and my brother. I want it to be so y'all could repair that breach. If God leads me to help repair that breach, but I'm not going to do it on my own. I don't want to be this on my own. I have to be led by the Spirit of God. There's a way that seems right to a man. The end thereof is death. I don't want to operate in my way. I want to operate in God's way now. I'm a new man. I'm a new creation. I used to think that way, but I can't make this whole. Only God can make this right. He says, he had given us that ministry of reconciliation. And he had committed unto us the word of reconciliation. The word, that's what washes, that's how we're cleansed. We're washed by the word, by the washing of the word of God. If the word is in us, and if we abide in that word, We speak the word. There's power, life, and death is in that word. That's why we have to study the word to show ourselves approved workmen that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God just did beseech you by us, we pray in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. For he made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin. Who knew no sin, he had made to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. He had set us this way that as we walk, as he walks, he can wash, he can make us because we're plowed, but we're listening. I have some children that's obedient unto me. I could work with them. I could work with church members that are obedient, that are listening, that are penitent, that see their problems and can own up to things. But when you're hostile, when you evade, when you dart, he couldn't deal with Adam because Adam hid what he did. I was naked. What? Who told you you was naked? See, God knows the sin. He's waiting for you to confess your sin. If you cover your sin, you won't prosper. There's no use being quiet about it. He said, he who confesses his sin. You need to confess it. Jesus came to reconcile us to God. We need to reconcile man to God. That's our job. He's going to wash and cleanse us to be ambassadors for him. Luke says he came to bring and give the knowledge of salvation to his people and forgiveness and remission of sins. So as we do this, what God does is in the book of Luke, 24th chapter, 45th to the 47th verse. Then he thoroughly opened up the understanding of the scripture. And he said to them, thus it is written, that Christ the Messiah should suffer on the third day and rise from the dead, and that repentance, a view to and as a condition of forgiveness of sin, should be preached in his name in all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. That's what we should do. We should go out and do these things, and he'll open up our understanding to where we can understand the scriptures, where we'll be able to deliver the scriptures to others. Because we have to have clean hands to handle the word of God. We have to have a pure heart. We have to be right. We have to first get the beam out of our own eyes before we can get the beam out of our brother's eyes. We have to cleanse ourselves first. We have to be washed. And the only way we can wash is in the blood. The blood is going through the word. Without some symbolism of being baptized in the water, identifying with the body of Christ. Baptism is a word. The reason I tell you about water baptism, that's a word that's an outward identification. So Jesus told John the Baptist, suffer it to be so. So we want to so identify with the body of Christ, and a lot of people deny Christ in their everyday life, their holiness, their church. Obligations to the Word of God, obligations to Christ. See, that water baptism in the early church meant you might lose your job. It meant you might lose your head. Nowadays, saying you're holy or saying you have to do something for the church, that's what sets you apart. Those things, being dedicated to the church of God, showing who you are. You will suffer. Heavenly Father, open up the eyes and the understanding of each one here today, Lord God. Let them be washed in your